Hare Krishna, I'm very, very grateful to be here in this beautiful Radha Gokulanand Ji Bhaktivedanta Manor, where Srila Prabhupada himself established the deities here. So I'm feeling very honored to be here, and I'm feeling very happy and grateful to be here, but most unqualified to speak on the most senior, most and greatest Acharya from our Vaishnava tradition, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. But with your blessings and permission, with all the senior devotees here, I'll try. So I've just made some notes from the wonderful book written by Rup Vilas Prabhuji, and I just came to know that he is from here, from London. So this is such an amazing book, and everything that I have heard or about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and much more, I could read so much more about his life from this book. So I wanted to read from the preface, because that will give an idea to us about the situation that Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared, the situation in India at that time, before the birth of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So I would like to just read some part. That the situation in India at that time under the British rule was such that they really were discouraging any kind of Sanskrit or scriptures, and there was a widespread propaganda that to discourage or allow the Indian community to understand the greatness of the Vedic scriptures. So if we read here from this book, you understand that. So the British, with some notable exception amongst their scholars, such as His Holiness H.H. Wilson and Sir William Jones, viewed any native endeavor to uncover and extol the glories of their greatest heritage as undesirable and foolish at best. And at worst, they piled abuse and invective on Vedic thought and scriptures in ill-conceived and misinformed attacks. In 1838, the year of Thakur Bhaktivinoda's birth, there was some debate of India's Supreme Ruling Council, chaired by Lord Bentinck, as to the value of teaching Sanskrit and India's classical literatures as well as regional languages in schools to be established by the British for the education of the Indian people. A few members of the council were mildly in favor of it, but the elegantly expressed, fully ethnocentric and Philistine view of Thomas Macaulay prevailed. And what was his views? Macaulay, who could deny that a single shelf of a good European library was worth the whole native literature of India and Arabia put together? I mean, this is what his opinion was. And he went on to make the outrageous assertion that all the historical information which has been collected from all the books written in the Sanskrit language is less valuable than what may be found in the most paltry abridgments used at preparatory schools in England. So, to summarize it, you can understand that the situation in India was such that, you know, there was a great need of some revolution to happen, so that, you know, the whole understanding of the people should change and should understand that there's such wealth of knowledge in Vedic scriptures. And this is the year that 1838, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur, our greatest acharya in our line of Vaishnava tradition, who appeared, and it is only by his efforts, and his efforts was so much that he spent almost 8 years of his life just searching, because by the time he, you could see by this propaganda, there was really no scriptures of Vedic scriptures and Sanskrit books were available. They had all just gone lost. There was no way that anyone could understand the great heritage of our Vaishnava tradition. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it is only by his efforts, which was like for 8 to 10 years, he was just searching and searching, and he was trying to find all the Vedic scriptures and especially the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everything was lost by then. All the Sanskrit verses, the Sanskrit verses, the Shikshastakam, the 8 teachings of 8 verses that we are chanting every day in the morning. Now it's available to us only because of the efforts of Bhaktivinoda Thakur to really get all these scriptures, to find all these scriptures. The Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, all these were lost. And it is only by his effort he found these scriptures and then made copies of them and then brought it into printing so that everyone became aware of it. So this is like the only by the mercy of Bhaktivinoda Thakur that we are here, have the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu available. And the next thing I would like to read about is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life. And he was born in a very, very aristocratic, wealthy family in West Bengal. And it was like his whole family had a very, very, like a lineage coming from very, very aristocratic and very known families, Kayastha family. And he had all the privileges when he was born. He was from a very wealthy family. So his education was, from the best schools and from the best. But still, from childhood, he had a lot of physical ailments and problems. But even though through all the health issues, he still progressed, and tried to be the best in his field. And the greatness of Bhaktivinoda Thakur is that he was known, he got the most highest position at that time in the British government. Like, they would not allow any high positions to be given to any Indian people, but among all of the people, he was given the most highest position as the assistant magistrate at that time, which was, that high post was never given to anybody. So you can imagine that he was such a qualified person that he got this post because of his efforts, and he was so qualified that, and his, because of his spiritual advancement and because of his intelligence, he was able to solve all the cases as the magistrate within the most shortest of time. He was so intelligent, and all the cases that used to be pending, he would finish hearing them and giving his judgment in very short time. And that's how he became so valuable to the British government that they really, really made all the facilities for him to, come to his office. And at that time, which is really unheard of, a railway line was made just right outside his house, which would bring him by train from his home, to his office. So this is the level of position that he held in the British. And once he began his spiritual writings, his realizations and his were so profound, and they are all noted in many of the books that he has written. Even the bhajan that we started with, Jai Radha Madhava, which Srila Prabhupada loved this bhajan and he chose this, it was also written by Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur has written so many beautiful bhajans, like collections of bhajans, not just bhajans. And the names of his books that is written are Gita Mala, Geetavali, Sharanagati, and Shri Krishna Samhita, and there are many, many other books. And another very, very significant book that he wrote, and that was The Life and Precepts of Lord Chaitanya. And this was a book which he wrote, and he, with great effort, he actually sent it to London in one of the universities. And this is after all the study that he did of all Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, he wrote this book. And for the first time in the history of our Indian history of Vaishnava traditions, first time this knowledge of Vaishnava culture left the borders of India and was sent to London. And with great efforts he achieved this. And it happened in the year 1896 that this book reached London. And it happens that it's the same year that Srila Prabhupada was born, and who later on took this Vaishnava culture of Krishna Bhakti out of the show, beyond, and spread it all over the world. So this is a very great achievement by Bhakti Vinod Thakur. It's like he sowed the seed, He is the one who sowed the seed of spreading this knowledge of Krishna consciousness, this Vaishnava culture, all over the world. And it later on fructified in the form of Srila Prabhupada going to each and every, all over the world and spreading this Vaishnava tradition in all the countries of the world. So it is all because of Bhakti Vinod Thakur that we are today sitting in this beautiful temple here, in London, from where. So I feel that we are really blessed to have, he's like our param 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 guru, and he, just like how a grandfather is more affectionate to his grandchildren, so he is like our grandfather, and he's our great great grandfather, so he will be more and more merciful to all of us, so we can really on this day humbly pray that we can follow in his footsteps, try to imbibe all these great qualities that he had, and try to perfect our lives by following the process of Krishna consciousness. And his greatest example to all of us, especially grahasthas, is that he was an ideal grahastha. At the same time, he was practicing the highest, and exhibiting the highest Krishna consciousness, or the levels of renunciation and focus on his spiritual life. And he completely showed that how we can balance our life, have a very Krishna conscious life of complete service towards the mission, and at the same time be a good grahastha and maintain that balance. So he is a perfect example of that, because he had 10 children and a very, very busy life as an assistant magistrate, and yet he was he has contributed so much to the to our Vaishnava lineage by writing so many books. So you can imagine, he has almost written hundreds and hundreds of books, hundreds of bhajans. So how his lifestyle must have been, that he must have not wasted a single moment, you know, in any kind of sense gratification, you know, just like how sometimes we have time, we just waste it. But he has showed an example how every moment he used in the service of the Lord. And one more thing that we can learn from him is, you know, his complete, as a magistrate, he was, had no tolerance at all, you know, to anything other than, you know, following the teachings of our Vaishnava traditions. Any kind of hypocrisy or any kind of he immediately exposed it, because he was completely brave and courageous, and we can see that example of how he tackled the case of one very, very powerful mystic yogi, and his name was Bhishikesen, and he was such a powerful mystic. And he had got so much fame. He had become so popular in the community, Indian community at that time, because he had the powers to heal. And he was showing so many miracles that all the people were blindly following him. But because of, you know, getting so much fame, and he was so proud of his following, that he started exploiting. And it is said that he started exploiting women, and the complaints were, you know, gradually reaching the British government, that there is this great powerful yogi who has got such a following, but he's a very corrupt person, and he is really exploiting. So when Bhaktivinoda Thakur heard about this case, you know, even though everyone told him that don't, you know, try to challenge him or don't try to expose him, because he's so powerful that he has mystical powers and he can completely, you know, destroy you and your family. But because Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so great, I mean, he was so brave and courageous that he took this challenge, and he went to just meet the yogi at the middle of the night, just to see him and observe him. And he could observe, you know, that there were thousands of people coming to him, and everybody was like blinded so much that they couldn't see through this person. So he went to him and he started, you know, speaking, just to find out his mentality. And he started saying, oh, you are a great yogi, you have such a big following, why don't you come to Jagannath Puri, and there you will get more followers, you know, and you can be close to Jagannath temple. And immediately he said that, who is Jagannath? You know, Jagannath is just a, the deity is just a piece of wood. I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everyone should be following me. So immediately Bhaktivinoda Thakur could understand that this person is actually a rascal, and he is trying to mislead people and trying to, you know, just get followers. So immediately he, you know, made a report against him, and he actually took the authorities, the police, and went to him to arrest him. And he was so powerful that, you know, by his mystical powers, like, everybody was afraid even to go close to him. But somehow they captured him and they put him in jail. And when he was being taken away, he started threatening Bhaktivinoda Thakur that, you know, I will completely destroy your family, and you know. And he even then started trying to bribe him by saying that by my powers you will become like, you know, like the king of, and I can make you even the king. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur was such a, you know, man of such great integrity that he was not affected by anything, and he put this Vishikishen in jail. And when he was brought before, you know, for his trial, he was, you know, he was like, nobody was able to control him because of his powers. There was like sparks coming from his hair and head, and anybody who was coming to touch him was really afraid. And by his spiritual power, Bhaktivinoda Thakur understood that the power of this person lies in the hair. So even though he was looking so fearsome and everybody was scared of him, Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself went near him and with the scissors cut his hair off. And as soon as the hair was cut, all his powers just disappeared, and he kind of fell down completely without any energy. And then he was easily so by this story we can see that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's teaching us by his example how we have to be very, very discerning about whom we follow. And he was very against anyone trying to, you know, take the position of the Lord. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur has also given us the greatest gift, and that is in the form of his son Bhakti Siddhant Saraswati Thakur. And he was actually praying to the Lord, and he was begging, you know, to send a ray of Vishnu who can really spread this message of Vaishnava culture all over the world. And finally, when he was posted in Jagannath Puri, Bhakti Siddhant Saraswati Maharaj, his son was born, and who later on, you know, became the person who actually spread the Vaishnava traditions all over India. And Srila Prabhupada, his guru, Bhakti Siddhant Saraswati, he became the guru of Srila Prabhupada. So this is his greatest gift. And one more gift that he has given us is that Mayapur Dham was also kind of Navadvip Dham. At that time when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was there, nobody actually knew the actual position or the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, because there was a lot of changes. The whole Ganga river had changed its course, and over time people had lost, you know, where exactly is Lord Chaitanya's birthplace. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he was posted, he was trying his best somehow to get a transfer to Mayapur. And finally he had to threaten them. He said, "I will leave my job if you don't transfer me." And finally he got a transfer to Mayapur. And that's when he started studying. Again, he was doing a lot of research and reading from all the books that were there to find the exact location. And finally he found the exact location, you know, from when he was reading the scriptures. And there was a mention, you know, that of the location of the actual birthplace. So then according to the old maps, he just checked. and then to test that he actually took his own spiritual master Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj to that place, and as soon as he reached to that holy place, he was brought in a basket, Jagannath Das Babaji, and at that time he was almost like 125 years old or something, very old, and he was carried in a basket to this exact location which Bhaktivinoda Thakur had pointed out. And as soon as he reached there, he just jumped out of the basket and started jumping, and he was singing Nitai Gaur Hari Bol. And that's when Bhaktivinoda Thakur got the confirmation that yes, this is the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. And so today we have this beautiful temple there in Mayapur at the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, and our Mayapur Chandrodaya temple, that is only because of the vision of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he had this vision hundreds of years, I mean hundreds of years from today, he already had that vision for the future. And he was the one who made this statement that one day will come when Europeans and the Westerners will be coming to Mayapur and chanting the holy names and dancing in ecstasy. And this was at a time when we read that there was not even a single scriptures available. And, you know, so he had this vision, you know, hundreds of years later, what is going to happen. And he is the one who actually mentioned this, that there will be a Senapati Bhakta who will appear in the future and who will make this vision, you know, come to reality. And that is none other than His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, our eternal spiritual master, who has fulfilled the legacy which Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave to us. And he has actually made it all happen. So we are very, very blessed to be coming in the lineage of such a great Vaishnava as Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who has shown by his example how we have to be completely loyal to this path of bhakti and completely loyal to the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our acharyas, previous acharyas. And on this day, we can just pray in the mood of a beggar to Bhaktivinoda Thakur that we can fulfill his vision and participate in his vision and work towards fulfilling the mission, his mission, which is being given to us through the disciplic succession, through our spiritual masters. The mission is being passed on. And if we can sincerely, with all our heart, dedicate ourselves and our lives to spreading the teachings of Lord Chaitanya in every town and village, because that is the vision of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Please, Prabhuji, if you can share some points. Give some.
Very nice class. Thank you, Mataji. Just a slight correction. The book that Srila Bhaktivinoda sent on the teaching, the life and precepts of Lord Chaitanya, was sent to Canada.
Canada?
Yeah.
Oh, not London. Oh, I just assumed.
McGill University.
Oh, yeah, I was. Thank you so much. Canada. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, his life is so exemplary. He got so much done, as you mentioned, writing and his books and bhajans and songs. It's just inconceivable. But we see that in Srila Prabhupada also, that he did so much, maybe equivalent in his writings. And that's because they wasted no time. They were completely focused, you know, If we see both their schedules, they slept very, very short time. And just mainly in the evening, the night hours, late night hours, they translate to early morning hours. And that's when you can actually concentrate the best. So it's a very wonderful example for all of us. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Somebody asked, yeah.
The one thing to remember, I remember by my Shiksha Guru, Mother Kalangana, she says, we can't imitate these people. Artificial renunciation and lack of sleep, it's like, especially for me, it's damaging actually to our health. And it's worth noting, whereas these people were specially empowered, they had this understanding. But certainly their lifetimes were so austere that true, they had sort of, you could say, as a pastime, they had ill health and the traveling in the jungles. They were bitten by snakes and or insects. But the Goswamis, they were very, very austere, but we can't imitate them. The other thing also to remember is this: staying up late at night is not a good thing, because it damages the memory. We got to sleep to have intelligence, and not, which I'm sorely lacking in. But it's just from my experience. You know, I have a short-term memory now, and I just suffer from it due to my service days, where I thought I could do anything, but it didn't. It took its toll, actually. So I would say to anybody, keep healthy as well. We can't copy these people, but we can admire their empowerment or see that it's totally unique to them. They were empowered by Krishna himself. That's just my point. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for this point.